Here are clips from the last four episodes of the FloridaProgressives.com podcast, plus a preview of the next episode out July 30th. On episode 6, with returning guest Susan Smith, president of the Democratic Progressive Caucus of Florida, one of the topics we discussed was Common Core.
Children develop at different rates. You know, some children learn they're ready to, they reach a stage at the age of 5, and other children don't reach that stage till they're 7. So these tests don't take any of that into consideration. They are all supposed to be at exactly the same place at exactly the same time. So we think that they're not developmentally appropriate, especially in the lower grades. For that reason alone, I would say no to the standards. The fact that teachers, classroom teachers, were not involved in writing the standards, they did have a review process where teachers looked over the questions and gave feedback. But I've talked to a couple of people who were on those committees, and they said that really they didn't listen and they didn't take the suggestions. So then there's no process for going back and looking at the standards to change them if they find out they're not appropriate. So that's another problem, serious problem that we have with them. They were never field tested, yet we're pouring billions of dollars into implementing these standards and the testing and the equipment. This is another problem that we see with it. And in the rush to approve the standards and put them into place and tie the high stakes to them, like teachers' pay, they didn't even take into account that all the schools aren't computerized to the degree they need to be so that children have the ability to take the test, because they're online tests for the most part. So, you know, there are so many problems with it that it's hard to even know where to begin.
Right.
It's just a bad idea. It's another boondoggle for corporate America, a way for people to make money on the backs of the taxpayers and take away the local control.
In a two-parter from episodes 7 and 9, I spoke with rights restoration activist LaShawna Tyson, and later in the clips, her daughter Shalante Tyson.
The clemency hearing was in March. When was the meeting with Pam Bondi?
The meeting with Pam Bondi was last month.
Okay.
It was last month. We just went to that. So when we got into the room with her, she was really nice, which was surprising because we had heard that, you know, she didn't have a very good demeanor about herself. So I shared my story to her. And when I told her that I had served those 13 years in prison, and she started to ask me, oh, what did you go to prison for and things like that? And I told her. And when I told her, I also told her about everything that I've accomplished since I've been home. When I couldn't get a job at McDonald's or Burger King, I got a real estate license. When I couldn't get into college, I'm in there now. I started last summer. I graduate next year because I've been taking 4 classes every semester so I can finish.
Right.
I feel like I was behind. And I'm graduating from the legal studies program at Seminole State College. She was very impressed. She said, you are the epitome of what we want. So with that being said, one of the clergy members in our delegation asked her to restore my rights. If I was the perfect person that they were talking about, that they wanted, would she restore my rights? And she said no. However, she did offer me an internship working in her office.
So that sounded like it was kind of like rubbing the wound a bit, right?
Absolutely. She did that. She also offered Mr. Meade, since he just graduated from FIU in Miami this Friday, he cannot sit for the Florida bar to become an attorney because he has no civil rights, even though he has went through all of the education. She offered him a position on her staff as an attorney, knowing that he can't take the Florida bar. So with that being said, my personal feelings is I cannot work for someone who does not trust me to vote for or against her. If I'm not good enough to do that, I'm not good enough to work in your office.
Absolutely.
And I personally felt like it was an olive branch with thorns on it to keep me from doing what I'm doing. I'm out here every day educating the public, recruiting people for this fight for rights restoration. First of all, I want to say to anybody who's doing the work that I'm doing that I love them, keep up the efforts, and just a message to everyone else that we're not going to stop fighting until we are not second-class citizens any longer. We're human beings. not felons. We're human beings at the end of the day.
Okay, great. Shalante, is there anything else you would like to add to that?
I just want to, like, put the message out there that it is possible to get past struggle and actually grow up and be somebody despite the struggles that people go through, despite the struggles that a child of an incarcerated parent would go through. It's still possible to fight to be somebody.
From Episode 8, investigative blogger Zed Jelani.
I think the sort of the extreme headline-grabbing stuff from the South creates an impression on these people that's very different than if you actually spend some time here and you realize that all these states, you know, everywhere from down to Florida, up to Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, all these states have sort of a progressive movement that's sort of under the wings of what's happening right now. And that movement is sort of on the cusp of changing things. And I think a lot of the reason that people from other parts of the country are giving us more attention, for example, Chris Hayes on MSNBC is covering Georgia, probably giving it, I don't know how many, like 3 or 4 segments a month, good segments, is due to the elections. I think they see the fact that Nunn does have a chance, that Carter probably has a 50-50 chance. I think they're reading that as a signal like the state is changing, right? And, you know, my only comment on that would be that people should have taken a more comprehensive look than that. I mean, there's a lot changing in the state other than just what happens in the election. And a lot of things determine elections other than just what people think. Like, a lot of it's just the fact that, you know, a lot of people don't vote in midterm elections. So even if Nunn and Carter lose, it doesn't mean the state's not changing. I think the fact that, for example, if you just look at Atlanta alone, it's one of the, which is the capital city of Georgia, it is one of the best places to be have a minority business today. It is more racially integrated than New York City, Chicago, Milwaukee, Detroit, Boston, Syracuse, you know, all these, most of these northeastern cities. It has a mayor who I have many disagreements with. He's much more of a sort of a business-friendly Democrat than me, but someone who could easily be governor in 4 years if Carter loses, Kasim Reed, who would be our first Black governor. So I think that there's a lot of changes going on under the scene, and part of that's also the Moral Monday protests that started in North Carolina but have spread to Georgia and are likely going to be spreading to Alabama, Mississippi, and South Carolina before too long. Mm-hmm. There's so much going on under the current here that it's sort of visible to us as people living in this region and from this region, but I think that people from outside the region should be looking at really closely and understanding that all this is going to have some kind of outcome. It may not change the region into, you know, a southern version of Vermont overnight, but it definitely is moving us away from, I think, what the popular perception in the country is that we are all far right wing, you know, cross between Ayn Rand and, you know, Falwell.
And coming up tomorrow in Episode 10, Stone Crab Alliance founder Karen Dwyer.
Major threats included the freshwater contamination of our watersheds, because that's where the drilling was happening, aquifers, adjacent wetlands, and our city water supplies. Essentially, it would have undermined Everglades restoration as well, because it was occurring in these areas. Oil and toxic brine spills were a great concern. Surfacing of toxic chemicals in improperly plugged wells from the 1940s, increased fire risk, encroachment on Florida panther habitat, the heavy traffic danger, literally placing 30 families in an emergency evacuation zone, as well as the excessive dust, the diesel fumes, the airborne drilling contaminants, the noise, nighttime lights, heavy trucks hauling in 15,000 feet of pipe, 145-foot oil derricks, lime rock pads, and other hazardous infrastructure associated with large-scale industrial drilling operations. None of this is environmentally friendly. The oil industry is drilling in the very worst places. They're drilling in our vital watersheds and headwaters in the greater Everglades ecosystem. We're talking the Fakahatchee Strand, the Picayune, the Corkscrew, the Big Cypress Preserve. This is not vacant land, and it is certainly not industrial land. This is land in the heart of the Everglades, in the midst of the massive 30-year Everglades Restoration Project, a joint federal and state effort that will protect some 2.4 million acres of interconnected wetlands. It doesn't get any bigger. These areas are critical habitat for more than 60 threatened and endangered species, such as the indigo snake, the red-cockaded woodpecker, the gopher turtle, the burrowing owl, the wood stork, and the Florida panther. These areas are also vital watersheds that replenish levels in the Big Cypress National Preserve and the Everglades and fill the aquifers millions rely on for drinking water. Even a minor spill here would be catastrophic. It is irresponsible to risk contaminating important wetlands and our fresh water. They're far more valuable than oil.
You can download, stream, or read the transcripts of these interviews at floridaprogressives.com. You can find me on Twitter at Mike Idson, spelled E-I-D-S-O-N. And you can like the show at floridaprogressives.com podcast on Facebook. Please show your support of the show by sharing the links to the interviews. Thanks for listening.